Hey everyone, I'm interrupting this episode because I want to tell you about a free masterclass that I'm hosting. I'm constantly hearing from motion designers and studio owners that they just don't have the time to work on their businesses. And I get it, it's hard to wear all the hats in your business and stay on top of everything. When the project ends, do you find yourself scrambling for the next gig on LinkedIn or sending a ton of cold emails? This just isn't sustainable in the long run. I found that building systems and processes in my business to free up my time was the best way to grow a business and have more time to do the things that I love. It's not easy, but I want to share with you what I've learned over the past few years and also what I've been teaching my students in my courses. So I'm hosting a free masterclass on the 21st of May for freelance motion designers and studio owners who are looking for more balance. After Balance Business Masterclass, you're going to walk away with a system to help you save time, make more money, and work on fun and creative projects. Of course, I'll also be doing a live Q&A to answer any questions that you have. And I'm going to invite just 20 people to work with me inside my coaching program, Balance Business Bootcamp. This won't open again until later this year. So if you want to get access to that and you want to join us in this free masterclass, then go and find the link in the show notes to register or go to motionhatch.com/pod. Hope to see you in there. Now let's get back to this episode.
I feel like there's nothing original. Like we've been inspired by something that has made us want to, you know, create the thing that we're creating. I see so many motion design pieces that there, you know, there's some similarities, and it's because people are encouraged, inspired by other people's work. So this idea of like, you know, completely original, it's like, yeah, it came from you and maybe you think that it's like totally original, but you were inspired somewhere along the line.
Hey Hatchlings, welcome to the Motion Hatch podcast. I'm your host, Hayley Akins. Hey Hatchlings, and welcome to episode 93 of the Motion Hatch podcast. Here at Motion Hatch, we're on a mission to help you grow your motion design business. When I first started this podcast, I was inspired by a friend of mine who told me about a client of his that had created a podcast to help people grow their video business. His name is Ryan Coral. He has a videography agency and a community called Studio Sherpas, which includes his podcast and many great courses. As I'm sure you can imagine, a lot of what Ryan teaches crosses over with what we do at Motion Hatch. So I wanted to invite him on the podcast today to chat about client communication. In this episode, we spoke about a lot of things, but we also touched on how Ryan sells a blueprint workshop to his clients for $2,500 to help them with their strategy and pre-production for their project. We went through some role play in this episode to show you exactly how Ryan approaches his clients with this idea of a paid workshop. But if you want his exact method, Ryan has kindly given the Motion Hatch audience 30% off his video blueprint method course. So if you use the code MOTIONHATCH, you can get 30% off. This gives you the step-by-step process to sell these workshops to your clients. So if you want to charge more for your creative ideas, give your clients a better experience, and also make more money for each project, then I definitely recommend checking it out. You can find the link at motionhatch.com/studio-sherpas. Use the code MOTIONHATCH for 30% off. Please bear in mind that this is an affiliate link, so if you purchase, we do make a small commission, but I would never recommend anything to you that I didn't think would help you to grow your motion design business. So let's get into this episode. Hey Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hayley, thanks for having me.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
What would you say you do here? Okay, so 17 years ago, I was working at a small college that I actually attended, and I somehow had convinced them to buy me a video camera and a computer because I was promoting all of these events. And back in those days, it was like, you know, we did have email and postcards, and I said, you know, it'd be sweet if we could make DVDs to send out to people. Or I don't know if you remember those little like DVD business cards or CD business cards. Anyway, they bought me this stuff and I started playing with video, and I absolutely fell in love. And so shortly thereafter, I just was driving to work every day. How can I just do video? And the church that we were going to has this incredible video production department. The camp that I worked at over the summer would make these really cool videos. And so I was just inspired. I was seeing all these incredible stories, people's life transformation. And I said, I want to do that. And so I started doing that, and eventually I left the college and was getting hired by the college to do video, was getting hired by our church to do some video, and then like friends and family were hiring me. And then somebody who I did not have any connection with hired me. My first like real job was like a $300 video of this snowboarder where I used every single preset effect. If I showed it, it would be the most embarrassing thing ever. But they gave me $300. I was like, this is incredible. And that was 17 years ago that I started this business. And, you know, it's kind of morphed and transformed into a bunch of different things over the years. I started out, I never wanted to be by myself. I wanted to have a team. So slowly, I was bringing friends in to help me contract, shoot, contract, edit. And then eventually, I was able to hire my first employee. And 10 years ago, we created a totally separate brand because we were doing a lot of mostly weddings for a long time all over the world. Really had unbelievable opportunities, met some really cool people. But then as our family grew and our finances needed to grow, we needed to be able to shoot, you know, here in Michigan, weddings are like 6 months out of the year, at least the really nice ones. And so a smart friend of mine said, hey, you can still tell incredible stories of, you know, people, and it doesn't have to be weddings. Like there are people that start businesses have like a purpose and a reason why they did this. And because they in some way want to change the world. And that kind of opened my eyes to say like, wow, I could tell other stories of people that want to make an impact in the world. And that really got me excited. So we launched this other brand, our corporate brand today. It's called Tell Studios. You can see if you're watching, you can see there's our little logo right there. And so I've got a team. We've got a production studio in Lake Orion, Michigan, which is about 45 minutes north of Detroit. And then 5 years ago, We're almost done here, and this is my entire life story. 5 years ago, I've always had a passion for the business side of what I do. I love business. My entire life, I've always like dreamed up starting businesses. And when I'm in the world of video, I'm always talking about business, and people's eyes are lighting up. You know, everybody wants to talk about cameras and how to tell a better story, and I love that stuff. But whenever I would talk about business, people would like lean in and be like, oh man, tell me more about that. And then I realized like, oh, like there's something here. So 5 years ago, I started Studio Sherpas with my friend Matt Davis, which today is I have a weekly podcast where I just talk about the business side of how to grow a video business. And I've built courses and, you know, have tons of training really on all the aspects of, you know, how to do a sales call, how to charge what you're worth, how to, things that you should include in your contract, like all of the meat of like running a business. For most of us getting into this work, we didn't go to business school. We didn't have a former business. So there's just so many things, to know how to do this successfully and sustainably, like for a long time. Because a lot of people get into this work, they don't charge enough, then they realize that I can't do this for a career, and then they pivot and start going, they go back to what they did before, or they just do something completely different. So there's my story. Thanks for having me on. Well, have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Thanks for doing it really quickly as well. I feel like it's always good to have the backstory at the beginning, but then it's always nice to get into like the juicy, actionable tips. So we'll be doing that very, very soon. But I just wanted to kind of tell the audience a bit about, you know, how I know you, because I feel like it's kind of interesting, because I don't know whether you know this, but I actually started the Motion Hatch podcast because our mutual friend Jeremy said, hey, you know, you want to help motion designers with the business side of things. I know a guy who does a similar thing, but he helps mainly video people, like video editors or people, filmmakers and stuff like that. And he's like, why don't you do that? So it's kind of like I stole your idea a little bit. So I thought that was like interesting thing, like to tell the audience, because, you know, this is kind of how you get started, is you think, oh, well, maybe like somebody else is doing something similar, but like slightly different. Maybe I could do that too, you know? And this is like 4 years ago. So you kind of started like, I guess maybe like a year ahead of me or something like that. So I just kind of wanted to give everyone a bit of that background, because I think it's nice, you know, and I appreciate you for that. So thank you for getting me started on this train.
Oh my gosh. I love that story. The thing that that reminds me of is imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And this feeling of like people that, you know, want to start doing motion design or and feel like, well, I've got a, you know, one of my best friends is a motion designer and I don't want to, you know, steal their clients or feel like have them feel like I'm creeping out on their territory. And what I've learned over 17 years of running a business, being the president of our local video chapter here where there's other competitors, quote unquote competitors, that are doing the same thing, that are getting the same phone calls from the same clients as me. What I realize is there's so much work out there. And for the people that are really rooting for you and that care about you and that want you to succeed in life, those people do not care. They want you to do the thing that you feel like, man, this is the thing I really want to do. And I feel like I'm in the right spot and the right place in my life to start a podcast or to start a business. And, you know, there will always be people out there that are afraid of you and what you're doing. And those probably aren't the people that you want to build your community around. I mean, still, you know, try to love and support those people. But at the same time, if you're going to really spend time, you want to spend time with people that are for you and for your success. And that doesn't mean that you don't have room to grow and you don't have areas in your life that you need to be challenged on. But don't not do the thing because you're afraid that it's not going to be as good as, you know, Ryan's podcast or as, you know, as Haley's business or whatever. Like, don't not do it because of that. Because really, if it's something that you're excited about and passionate about, like you need to put that out in the world. The world needs you to be your truest self, and that could be starting a podcast or business. So that's my just small disclaimer and encouragement for people that are like, I just don't want to, you know, it's not going to be as good as, or I just don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, exactly. I totally believe in what you just said. And I think it's great because everyone always says, oh, well, you know, like when you start something, you've got to be like super original. And like, you know, to everybody listening to this podcast, like, I mean, this is still pretty original, but like, you know, you were doing something similar just in a different industry. And I think like it's good to get inspiration from other industries and other places too for our business. And that's kind of what I've been doing over the past few years as well, is like really digging into, you know, business, entrepreneurship, content marketing, and all of those kind of things, which is not really that to do with motion design or video editing or filmmaking, or, you know, but like we bring those things in to our industry and that really helps other people. So yeah, I think that's great. It's kind of like, you know, you need to see other opportunities and other people doing things, and then that can spark ideas for your own business. And I think that's really important.
Oh my gosh, 1,000,000%. And even in motion design, you know, this community that you're building, I feel like there's nothing original. Like we've been inspired by something that has made us want to, you know, create the thing that we're creating. I see so many motion design pieces that there, you know, there's some similarities, and it's because people are encouraged, inspired by other people's work. So this idea of like, you know, completely original, it's like, I mean, yeah, it came from you and maybe you think that it's like totally original, but you were inspired somewhere along the line. Even if it was like your football coach from back in high school or something, there's something that was passed on to you that has given you this idea or this vision for, you know, how you want to make this thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it brings me on to think about this idea of like learning in public. I mean, this wasn't really what I was initially going to talk to you about on this podcast, but I think it's really interesting, like thought to follow right now is, I mean, you know, I'm all about that. Like, let's learn in public. Like, that's why I partly started this podcast too, is because I wanted access to people that maybe I couldn't speak to otherwise, which I think is a really great thing. And also, you know, just sharing what I'm learning and my work and things like that online, that's kind of what has helped it to grow. And I don't know how, you know, you feel about that and whether you have seen the benefits of that kind of thing as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That is the best place to learn because real quick, to get immediate feedback instead of, you know, back when I was building our initial course, we could have spent a long time building this thing and then, you know, spend hundreds of hours shooting, editing, scripting, delivering, and then find out that it just fell flat. Instead, like, hey, let's do a live workshop, see how that goes. Oh, people like that. Okay, let's do another live one, see how that goes. Okay, like this is what we need to be doing. And I've done plenty of things, or I've, you know, thrown an idea out to my audience and then crickets. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm not going to do that thing because it just doesn't seem to be resonating. So I think creating in public, kind of just putting your step out there, stepping out there. One of my favorite phrases is you don't learn until you launch. And the thing doesn't have to be perfect. Done is better than perfect. And just putting your first idea out there to see how it resonates, that's, I think, one of the smartest things that you can do as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, definitely. So how do you feel like this sort of thing, you know, this experimentation idea relates to, you know, running your service-based business? Because obviously you have Tell Studios and then you have Studio Sherpas as well, which is amazing. I can't believe you still do both of those. Like, congrats to you that you must... Thanks. You must have like an incredible team and, you know, be very organized.
I have an amazing team.
So, yeah, we can talk a bit about that later too, but I just wanted to follow this idea of experimentation and how do you feel like this can play into our service-based businesses?
That's a great question. I feel like with the service-based business, it's a little bit different. It's been an experiment from the beginning, but the longer that I've been in business, the more we have a better handle on what's expected. So there's still some experimenting, and I would say, like, on pieces that we're doing for a client, 80% of what we're going to deliver them is what they are expecting. And 20% might be like, hey, let's try this. And let's just, you know, we think this is really cool. And it might fall flat. And fortunately, that's only 20% of the piece. So, we can fix that. The other thing that we've done that has completely revolutionized the way that we work with clients and create pieces and get too far ahead of ourselves, because there's this one project that just haunts me from like years ago. We got hired by this small private school to create a piece for their big gala event. I was late delivering the thing. I was overwhelmed by the whole project. And I sent it to the principal or the superintendent of the school like the day before it was due. I was like, oh man, I reached the deadline, sent it over to her, and she hadn't seen anything up until this point. And this is like probably a 5 or 7 minute video. It's like tells her story and all this stuff. We thought it was incredible, super emotional. We sent it to her and she's like, no. And I was like, oh no. So we did what we could in 24 hours to fix it, but that relationship was just wrecked. I mean, I apologized. I did everything. You know, I think she maybe even threatened to sue us or something. I don't know. It was just like ugly, messy. And it was totally my fault for not having a better process for how we deliver projects. So today, what we do is when somebody comes to us with a custom idea for the kind of video that they want, we have a workshop with them. And we go through the workshop, we go through our storytelling process, our video making process, and how we deliver great videos that really align with, you know, what the goal of our client is. So we get clear on what their goal is. We get alignment with their team. They get alignment with each other, because you'd be surprised at how many times two or three people from a company will come in saying, we want to do this video. And then we ask them like, okay, well, tell us what, you know, you want or why you want it. And then you get three different answers. So then it's like, okay, well, we can't do all three of those. So what's it going to be? And then they kind of like, you know, fight it, duke it out. And so out of that workshop, we create a blueprint, and that's where we'll throw out any kind of crazy creative idea where we want to experiment and let them shut it down in the blueprint phase, because we haven't shot anything. It's all just kind of sketched out, and let them, you know, chew on it, because when we actually take that blueprint to production, there's little surprises when we deliver the first draft, because they've kind of said yes to this document that really gives a clear vision for what the piece is going to look like. So that's allowed us to experiment without doing it. If you're experimenting in production on set with a crew and people and all that stuff, it's a little dicey, you know, unless you for sure get what you know you need, and then you take whatever extra time you have and try the extra stuff. I think that's my advice, is like, make sure you get what you have to get when you're on set, Because when you go to edit, like, you know, you can change the edit if it's crazy or too experimental or whatever. But when you're on set and the client's paid a lot of money and people are flying in from out of town to be there for this thing, and then you're just like, hey, I got this vision, and you follow this vision and then it falls flat. That's recipe for disaster.
Yeah. I mean, tell me about this workshop thing, because it sounds like you're basically, you know, doing some strategy with the client before you move on. Is that correct? And tell me kind of how that works.
Yeah. So when people call us for video work, we tell them what our process is. And it's kind of like, hey, you're going to fall in one of two camps. One camp, you've got this idea for this video. You want to direct it. You want our cool cameras and our expertise to, you know, be able to shoot and edit this thing followed by your lead. That's one way of doing a video project. The other way is that we kind of become collaborative partners and we walk through this process together and you lean on us for our expertise in directing. And you lean on us for, now we'll work together on this, but like if you've never done a video or you're just not confident in your, you know, scripting or with what shots need to be in there or who should show up first in the video and how it should end, if you need help there, then we're going to guide you in that process. And that's going to take a little bit more time, energy, and money, but it's going to be well worth it in the end if you don't know, you know, if you're not super confident in your own video making abilities. So people say like, well, and then I'll ask them, well, which one sounds like you? And they're like, oh, that one for sure. It's like 90%. When we work with agencies, they're like, no, we've got the storyboards. We know what we need. We just need your cool cameras. And we're like, cool. Like we can quote that out like very easily. But when it's somebody that says, yeah, we want this workshop or we need your direction, then we say, okay, the very first thing that we do before we do any production, before we quote the project out, is we do a workshop. The workshop costs $2,500. If we go through the workshop and you absolutely hate it, we'll give you your money back. As we go through the workshop, we're going to, you know, nail down this idea, kind of come up with the creative direction, what this needs to be. We're going to create this blueprint for you. You're going to sign off on that, or we're going to make changes to the blueprints, revise that, and then deliver the final to you. And when you, you know, kind of say, yes, this is it, then we move into production. We will not do a workshop if a client doesn't already have a rough budget in mind. So if they say, we're not really sure what we're going to pay for a video or what we're willing to pay, then we say, well, you're too early on in the stage. We're not going to charge you $2,500 for a workshop when your budget might be $2,500. And we're not going to go through a 90-minute or 2-hour workshop coming up with ideas for a video that we don't know if it's a $10,000 budget or $100,000, because we can talk about, oh yeah, we could fly out to, you know, Australia and shoot all this stuff for 7 days and that would be so cool. And it's like, okay, that's $150,000. And they're like, oh, well, no, we can't do that. So instead of wasting our time in the workshop for them to at least have some kind of a budget range and communicate that to us, then that allows us to say that, great, we'll just make sure that during the workshop, we're not going to let you say we're going to Australia for 7 days if you're telling us your budget is $10,000 to $20,000. It's not going to make sense. So that has helped our whole sales process. Plus, we're getting $2,500 paid for pre-production work that we never got paid for before. We're seen as experts in this whole process, which before people would just assume that they needed to kind of take the leadership and the lead the direction for the whole project, when now we're saying like, no, this is what we do. Like, so you can hire us to do this, or you can direct us and it's going to be this other fee and we're not going to go through the workshop. And just know what you're getting yourself into. So that's kind of the process there. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I wondered if you would be willing to do a bit of role play with me, because I feel like I, you know, would like to play an awkward client and see if you can get me to, like,
I love awkward clients. You know,
because I can see the benefit of the workshop and selling strategy, I think, is awesome. But then I can see a lot of clients are like, oh, well, no, you know, like, do we need to do that? So I feel like we should go through that, because I want to hear. Sure. And I want to hear the audience to hear, like, what are you saying? You know, what are the words that you're saying? So, okay, so I'm going to be this client, right? And I'm like,
I can't wait to hear your client voice.
I'm not going to do a voice. Don't be silly.
Oh, man, yeah. Come on.
But I'm going to be like,
all right, I'll do a okay. Ryan voice.
Hey, Ryan. So I'm thinking about doing a video for my company. And, you know, I've looked at your work on your website. It seems like Tell Studios is like, the place we want to go to get this video done. So, you know, how much would it cost me to make a video?
Pause the whole role play thing.
Right, you can't.
This happens. This happens all the time, right? You get a client that calls and like they ask you, what's the budget? And it's like, oh my gosh. We all know this, and it's one of the most annoying things in the world. So I'll do my best to turn this back around here in a second. But I'm in the back of my mind, I'm just knowing that this probably isn't a great fit client. They're not ready for a video. And when people are calling me for work, there's a lot of customization in the proposal and the quoting and all that stuff. So it just takes a lot of time. And we're kind of at this stage in our business where I just don't have a ton of time to educate clients on all of the things. So for us today, we're fortunate enough to be able to say to a client like this, there's probably some other things that you need to be thinking about. You know, I can give you some price ranges and whatever. So anyway, that's just a little preface. Let's jump back into the role play, and I'll do my best here. Okay, so Haley, tell me first, like, what's the goal? Like, what do you need to happen? What do you want to happen with this video? How will your business be different by doing it or by not doing it?
Well, so I run a bakery, let's say, and I'm really looking for a video to go on my website because I want to tell everybody about what our bakery does and why we're different. I've heard that, you know, doing a video and putting it on your website can hopefully get us to increase sales on our online shop, but I don't really know. And I just thought your work looked really good. So I kind of wanted to come to you and ask, you know, how much, and could you do this video for us?
Oh, well, you're very kind. Thank you for the kind words. Okay, pause again. Now, what Haley's just done here is she's given me a very clear indication of the kind of video that she wants. This is what I call a brand story. Now, if she comes to me and like she starts talking about something that I'm like, I don't know, like, you know, she's like, we want to do this 3D walkthrough. And then, you know, and she just kind of goes down this road of like, I'm like, that sounds like super customized. But if she starts talking about something that we've already kind of got packages for, then I can be like, okay, great. This can work. I can get a yes or a no from her really quick here, or a yes, I'm interested to know more. So, okay, time back in. Haley, so what it sounds like you're describing is a brand story, and this is kind of like the heart and soul of, this is why I started this business, you know, 17 years ago, is because I wanted to tell people stories, and, you know, people that start businesses want to make some kind of difference in the world. And I'm sure you have this awesome story about, you know, why you started this bakery. And I might even just say, like, you know, tell me why, like, what do you love about it? I'm not going to ask that right now because Haley, do you actually have
a bakery? My family has a bakery, so I reckon I could probably, that's why it came into my mind.
Yep. So then I would just say, yeah, this is a brand story. Packages for our brand story, pricing for our brand stories start at $8,000. And, you know, as you are kind of thinking through budget and stuff, you know, starting at $8,000, I mean, we've had clients spend as much as $20,000 or $30,000 on a brand story. Do you think that's within your budget, $8,000 to $30,000?
Yeah, I was sort of thinking like more like $5,000. So that's like, seems like,
yeah, you're wasting my time, Haley.
All right, like what? I'm trying to get to the point of like where you're giving me the, you know, let's say I've got more than that. I feel like realistically, I'm not sure what bakeries have like $20,000 to spend on videos, but let's go with it. So imagine I've got a business and I have got $20,000, right? And I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, maybe. You probably wouldn't let the client, I wouldn't let you know that. I'd be like, yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, maybe we could make that work.
Yep. So then at this point, I'm going to say like, great. Well, typically when people call us, they want one of two things. They either want to direct the video. They've got a clear vision for what they want. They've probably done video in the past. Have you guys done video in the past?
No, we haven't really done much video. So okay. We don't really know what we want, but we've seen like a few examples that we thought were cool of other people who did that. So that's why we came up with the idea.
Yeah. And most people that, you know, fall in this first camp, like they've done video before or they're an agency and they've got a really clear vision. They've got somebody on their staff that is going to lead this project from start to finish. And they just need our cool cameras. They need our, you know, our fancy technology and, you know, somebody there that can run that stuff. The majority of people that call us are similar to you where maybe they've done video before, but they've got a business to run and they don't want to lead all of the things. So they want to lean on us for our expertise and the direction that we can provide. So when that happens, the very first step for us is to do a workshop with you and just all the stakeholders, you know, at your bakery that would want to speak into this piece. And the workshop's $2,500. And the only way that we can do the workshop is, I know you're kind of, you know, you said maybe, you know, you've got maybe $20,000. You're not really sure. We will only do the workshop if you're comfortable on landing on some kind of a budget range, because in the workshop, the goal of that workshop is to talk through ideas and concepts that can fit within that budget range. So it's going to be a complete waste of my time and your time if at the end of the day, you really only wanted to spend $5,000. It's like if you're going to shop for a house, you don't just go out with a realtor and start driving around and, you know, she's taking you to different houses and you're like, oh man, this is amazing. And then you get to, you know, and she's like, well, and you're like, yeah, I want to buy that one. And she's like, okay, that one's $2.5 million. And you're like, $2.5 million? You know, what are you, I don't have that much. And she's like, we've been riding around for all day. I've been showing you $1 million house. Like how much money do you have to spend? And you're like, we've got like $50,000. And it's like, oh my gosh, you both just wasted so much time. So if you tell your realtor, hey, we're seriously looking at, you know, $50,000 to $250,000 houses, then that's going to limit the search. It's going to be way more. But if you're lying and you don't really have 250, I mean, that's dumb, right? So like, if you're going to spend $2,500 to do this workshop, you really need to know what is the price range. Otherwise, you're going to be wasting your money by, you know, doing a workshop and having us come up with an idea that just doesn't fit inside of your budget. So how does that sound?
Yeah, it sounds okay. But I mean, I spoke to this other video company and they said that they would do a pitch for me for free. And then I was hoping that you would do a pitch free too. And then we could, you know, choose the idea that we like best.
Yeah. Yeah. So inside of our blueprint, we go through this workshop together. And then from the workshop, you will get a blueprint, which, you know, we might come up with a creative idea in the workshop itself as ideas or, you know, people are getting excited. That doesn't always happen. And if it doesn't, then when we sit down to build out the blueprint, like that's when we're able to build out this, you know, this idea of a pitch or whatever, and then send it to you. And if you love it, great. We move forward with production. And if you don't, then we kind of go back to the drawing board and try to understand better, like how we missed it or whatever. That's actually never really happened when we do a blueprint. It's mostly like one or two small things that need to be adjusted. And then we move forward with production. So it's an opportunity for us to work together on a small scale, you know, $2,500. At the end of the day, what you're getting is a blueprint, and you can take that blueprint to this production company or to wherever, because honestly, if somebody's going to work on a free pitch for you, how much time are they going to be able to spend on that to really make it thoughtful and for it to align with who you are as a business and what your goals are? So that for us is our differentiator. There are a lot of people out there that would give you free pitches. And if you love it and you love what they are presenting, go for it. But this is our process and this works for us and really works for our clients.
Okay. All right. I think you've convinced me then if I can potentially take it to that other production company too. Like, I feel like there isn't, you know, really much to lose. I don't know whether they would say that, but I feel like that was pretty convincing, Ryan. So I feel like we'll end the painful role play there.
Whew, man. Golly, putting me through the ringer.
I was trying
there.
To be as awkward as possible, but I feel like my like niceness just like keeps like trying to come out. I'm like,
you're like, yeah, I guess that sounds.
Yeah,
good.
Exactly. This is why I've been not very good. Like as a client, I'm like, yeah, okay. I feel like this is half the battle, though, right? Is like you've got to take charge as the business owner and say, well, this is how we do things. I think like where people get stuck with this stuff is because they're not used to talking about money. They're not used to talking about business and they don't practice that stuff. And I think that is really, for me, where the problem lies, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's this whole area is where so many of us get stuck. We haven't done this before, and people might be listening, and they might be like, "What is this guy talking about?" And other people might be like, "Oh my gosh, like he sounds like such a good salesperson." I didn't start as a good salesperson. I was pathetic. I was overly confident. I didn't know how to start a conversation. I didn't really know how to end it. I didn't know how to instill confidence in my clients. I relied on my, this sounds terrible, but my charming personality. Or I should just say my personality. I relied on my personality to kind of carry the conversation and just hoped, cross my fingers, that they would like me. And if they liked me, that they would want to do business with me. And that worked sometimes, and it didn't work most of the time. Because when I was working with wedding clients, that was more than half the thing. They wanted to be able to like you and know that you're going to be great to hang out with for the day. But for a business, they want to know that there's going to be a return on their investment. They're going to spend all this money. They need to feel confident. And so, you know, I've been able to learn through the years how to speak more like what a business, how a business wants to hear and what gives them confidence.
Yeah, I like that. And what I really like is the fact that you have like your sort of agency model, you know, where you're not going to make them go through all the strategy bit, but you're saying, but we require that bit from you, I imagine, you know, from the agencies, you require them to give you like the script, you know, really clear guidelines, stuff like that. So like you obviously have a process for that side of things as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, we've done so much free work unintentionally over the years, and an agency would hire us and just totally take advantage of us because we didn't know. We were like, oh my gosh, an agency, and they've got a huge budget. And it's like, yeah, but guess what? You're going to work twice as much as you normally would for this because you haven't set clear boundaries. I'm talking to one of my coaching clients yesterday. I was sending him a follow-up message because he's been working with this agency for 5 years, hasn't raised his prices. They are totally taking advantage of him. And he just needs to know how to speak to them in a way that doesn't belittle what they're doing, what they're trying to do, the direction that they're going, but really it's just about him saying like, we're growing. And we're improving our processes. I'm hiring a full-time editor because we really want to up our game. And in doing that, we're going to be raising our prices. And so I just want to let you know, as one of our favorite clients, one of our longest standing clients, your rates are going to go up. And just so you know why, this is why. And I told him, I'm like, dude, you've been with him for 5 years. They love, like, the work that he does for them is unbelievable. If they have issues with that, like, most of his other clients, he's charging like higher rates for. He's just stuck with his one client for so long that if they don't move forward with him, it's going to free him up to be able to do work for other people. He makes a decent amount of money, but the amount of work that goes into what he's making with them, it's insane. I'm like, dude, I'll hire you at those prices. You can come, you know, contract for us and I'm going to be getting a killer deal. And he laughs. So yeah, I think it's super important to try to figure that stuff out because otherwise you end up getting taken advantage of. And that's not a way to grow any sort of business.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with you. And it's like something that we've spoken about a lot before is kind of trying to come from this place of abundance rather than like scarcity, you know, where fear of like not getting the client, of scaring them away. Because the only reason why you were able to talk to me like that and kind of take control of that conversation is because you weren't scared of losing me as a potential client, right?
Yeah, a 1,000,000%. In a client, especially a corporate client, if I can instill confidence in them that we've got a process for how we do stuff, I'm not trying to win you over with my personality, although, you know, if I have a personality, that can be helpful. And that confidence lets them feel like, okay, cool. If they're hiring me, maybe they have their bosses like, hey, go out and find a video company. So if I can instill confidence in them, then they can go back to their boss and say like, oh yeah, I found the company. Like they've got this great process. It's this workshop thing or something. And it sounds like it works and we can get our money back and whatever. That's a lot different than, well, yeah, I did talk to this other video company and they'll do a free pitch for us. Okay, well, let's get the free pitch and see what that is. But like, it sounds like this other company has got their stuff together. We might want to go that direction.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. So I'd love to talk a bit more about like what the biggest mistakes you see people make when it comes to like communicating with clients, because we talked about a lot about like you know, having your own processes and things like that down. But what are some of like the big mistakes you see people making when they're kind of, you know, out there trying to get clients and, you know, maybe they feel like their clients aren't really good and they might, you know, maybe they feel like they'll laugh at them if they say, hey, this is my process and things like that, you know, like, let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I think even just sitting down and trying to come up with, you know, what are the three steps to your process? And it can be, it doesn't have to sound overly complicated. First thing is we meet to kind of talk about, you know, the goals of this thing. And then we'll, you know, brainstorm the idea for the video. Next part is, you know, we jump into production and then we have our revision process and you get two revisions or whatever normally. And then we deliver and then we're all given high fives, you know, something very simple that you can memorize that it's just like, this is what we do. That can give you confidence to say like, okay, well, I've got some kind of a process. So even just spending a few minutes coming up with something that can be very basic, the client's not going to laugh. They're not going to be like, that's your process. They're going to be like, oh, cool. Like, obviously there's way more steps inside of your process, but that's just that's a good overview. Took you, you know, 45 seconds to explain it. And that's, again, that's about a confidence thing. It's confidence for you and confidence for your client. I think where a lot of us go wrong is we're afraid to put ourselves out there. I think one thing that annoys and frustrates me is on so many people's websites, they present themselves, you know, as Tell Studios. Sounds like this, like, wow, this big studio. And it's like run by one guy. That's actually not true, but you have no idea. People are afraid to put their picture on their website. They're afraid to say that they're a solopreneur, that it is a one person business. Because, you know, if they're talking to a client and they're trying to get a $10,000 or $100,000 project, like what client is going to hire a one person video studio? That's different today. Things are different today. And to be afraid of saying like, oh, I'm a solopreneur. It's like this world is so connected. And of course you should have like a database of contractors that you can hire and that will help you on projects. So that's, I think, is assumed by most businesses today. That's not how it was 20 or 30 years ago. Before the internet and before collaboration versus competition, this idea. So I think hiding behind like big names and, you know, whatever, and just not being totally honest and saying like, yeah, this is my company. We've worked with some really big brands. We've done some massive projects. And when I need to, I bring in partners to help me deliver on a high level. I don't always need a team, right? Which helps me kind of be able to work faster and work more efficient and be more attentive to you as the client and your needs. I think that's a mistake. I think people should put their photos on their website and be totally open and honest about how they operate. And that could be part of your process as you talk about, yeah, in initial phases, we kind of talk about the goals. And then I'm determining, is this project, you know, too big for just me? Do we need to bring in other people? And I'm trying to identify what actually is needed here. And I don't want to always assume that the client needs the full team because that might be really expensive. They might be fine with one or two people. And then the other thing is, I think it's directly related, is personality. I think I've had enough clients that I tried to woo and just tried to be their yes man so that they would hire us, only to find out that they don't really care for my sarcastic sense of humor or my dad jokes or, you know, they don't care for me and what I got going on here, you know, this personality over here. The sooner you can be yourself and be your true, honest, open, authentic self, when you're halfway through a project, the client isn't going to be surprised that you're cracking jokes or that you're, you know, kind of obnoxious. They are either going to be drawn to your personality or they're going to be, you know, afraid of it. And if you can get the people that are afraid of it to know what you're all about, like earlier on, then you're not going to waste time. And, you know, it really stinks when you're working on a project and you find out that your client doesn't care about people and doesn't care about making things right for everybody, not just them, right? So, you know, there was one project that we did. This is our first huge corporate contract that we landed. We went from booking weddings for $5,000 and $10,000 to getting an opportunity to work with the University of Michigan Business School. And we had to go meet with their team at the business school. And they're just like one of the top business schools in the entire world. And right down the street from us, sort of. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, this is huge. And I'm so nervous. Anyway, we go into this meeting. And before the meeting, we said, hey, let's make a little video that highlights the campus and kind of talks about like why we'd want to work with them. Like, and we'll bring that into the meeting. It's not a pitch. It's just like what we think, how we might be able to help them. So we play this video, and at the end of the video, we left this part in where I was kind of like, I came on screen at the very end, and I'm like, and that's kind of why, you know, we think we'd be a great fit to work with University of Michigan, and that's why we made this video, and really because, we just couldn't think of anything else, and that's how, and then it cuts, and it, our logo comes up, their logo comes up, and it's like, you know, Tell Studios plus University of Michigan something. And then you hear me in the background. I'm like, is that good enough? I don't know. And then we're kind of like laughing and giggling. And then it cuts. So we play this video and I'm like, they're either going to love it or they're going to hate it. We play the video. I look at this long table. There's like 10 people in there and there's smiles. There's some chuckling. And the person leading the brand management there said, Ryan, what you guys did in that video is the exact thing that we need you to do for us. We don't have that silly side. But the way that you were able to encapsulate your personality in that piece is exactly what we need you to be able to do for the university. And so that won us this $25,000 job that ended up, you know, we have done work with the university for years now and have made hundreds of thousands of dollars with them. And really it's because we weren't afraid. We put our personality in the work and just put it out there and said, they get us, this is going to be great. And it was a great partnership, you know, for them to know us from the very beginning. So I would say, don't be afraid to get a no. Get a no as soon as possible. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there and let people really know who you are, what you care about, and you know, and why you do this work.
Yeah, definitely. I think like that's just such a great place to end this podcast. Like, I feel like I had so many more questions, but I'm also like, I feel like you just nailed it right there. So I kind of want to leave people with that thought. But yeah, thanks so much, Ryan, for, you know, giving us so much value today. I really appreciate it. But do you want to tell the audience where they can find out more about you and Studio Sherpas and Tell Studios?
Yeah, sure. So if you want to see our corporate work, just go to tellstudios.com. I have a weekly podcast. It's called Grow Your Video Business. Have amazing guests, have amazing topics all around the business. I have videographers, I have authors. It is a really fun podcast and really helpful for anybody that is trying to grow a video business. We're doing an in-person event here in the Metro Detroit area in October. It's called the Onward Summit. You can get more information at onwardsummit.com. And we've done this event before. It is seriously one of the best things to just this community of videographers and filmmakers that we're building, super, super fun. And then I've got a free workshop. If anybody's interested in knowing how to get a client's budget, if you want to dive in a little bit more, I think it's about a 40-minute workshop. It's totally free. And I just really walked through this process of, you know, I was talking to Haley through that little fake phone call. And there are different tactics and techniques that I'll do to really try to narrow in on what a client's budget or budget range is and figure out where they're at in the buying process. You can get that workshop if you go to studiosherpas.com/budget. And my socials are at Ryan Coral and whatever. I don't post a ton online outside of our little Facebook group and with the podcast and whatever. But Haley, thank you so much for having me on. This was super fun. Love what you're doing. Love the community that you're building. And just grateful that I could come be with you today.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show, Ryan. I really appreciate it. Thanks again to Ryan for coming on the show. I hope you got a lot of help and advice from this one. Make sure you do check out Studio Sherpas and the Grow Your Video podcast. And remember, if you want to get your hands on that video blueprint method to help your clients and make more money per project, then go to motionhatch.com/Studio Sherpas and use the code MOTIONHATCH for 30% off. If you enjoyed this episode, why don't you get your phone out of your pocket, take a screenshot of the episode and share it on your social media? Do tag us at Motion Hatch. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening all the way to the end. I appreciate you. See ya.